There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
And wake up, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Tuesday. Hi, I'm Clayton Morris. Natalie is off today, so it is, how we say, Testicle Tuesday around here. Testosterone Tuesday on this show. Let me just turn this a little off. I'm hearing myself back. Philip David Grimm is also here. We're all here, so it's a men's day. But we got a lot of news to get to because we got some big breaking news just a few minutes ago. The president speaking about a Ukrainian ceasefire. Now they're going to take it to President Putin and meet with Putin a little bit later this afternoon and then take it further and maybe even meeting with him tomorrow. He also invited Zelensky to the White House. So what exactly is going on here? What is the big catch in all of this? We'll tell you in just a second what the big catch in all of this agreeing to a ceasefire. You knew there would be a catch, right? You knew there would be a catch. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about Thomas Massey versus Donald Trump, of course, because over the past few days, there has been a bubbling occurring between Thomas Massey, other libertarians who do not want to extend the continuing resolution of spending in Washington, basically an extension of the Biden era policies and the spending. And, you have Doge doing all of these big cuts right now. Well, then why are Republicans trying to vote for massive amounts of spending to basically undo everything that Doge is doing? That's the big debate right now. President Trump going after Thomas Massey over the past 24 hours. We're going to take a look more deeply at this. What does this all mean? And who's actually behind this? Maybe the answer will surprise you. Maybe it won't surprise you. Does it have anything to do at all with the deep state that wants to drive a wedge between Thomas Massey and Donald Trump? We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about the newest globalist who's taken over Canada. Of course, Mark Carney in for Trudeau. Trudeau out, but is Carney worse? We're going to look at what this means for the trade war. President Trump, of course, extending the tariffs up to 50% now for metals coming in from Canada. So this thing is hot and heavy. And will Canadians actually get a chance to vote at all? Also, we're going to look at the Iron Dome. Remember, President Trump, during his joint session of Congress, said he wanted to build an Iron Dome in the United States. Well, we're going to do a deep dive today on exactly what that would look like, how much it would cost you, the American taxpayers, and actually, will it work? That's a big question. So all of that and more. Welcome in on this Tuesday. Hope everyone is doing well. I was traveling yesterday, so thanks everyone for treating my wife lovely. Hopefully you guys were kind to her yesterday when she was doing the show solo. So now I'm doing it solo. She's not feeling well. She's just laid down. She crashed. She's like, I'm not feeling well at all. I'm like, okay, just lay down, take a nap. So she is. She passed out. She's not feeling well. Queasy. I don't know what's going on. So anyway, and hope everyone is doing well on this Tuesday. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world. Eric Lesson says Massey needs to leave government. Just saying no to everything isn't in legislating, it's performance. All right, Eric, we're going to debate that in just a little bit here. But first, we're going to tell you about our friends over at Ramp. I know what expense chaos looks like. I was just traveling. And when you've got like reporters in like multiple different countries, or you're traveling for business and you've got receipts everywhere, you're trying to use different credit cards, making sure that you're going through a toll booth or whatever, and you use the right credit card for your business, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Ramp takes care of all of that. Everyone's talking about Ramp. One CFO told me it was like hiring a full-time employee just for expense management, except it's way easier. When you switch to Ramp, you can sleep better at night. It's really, really easy. Instead of manually logging receipts, chasing approvals, spending days on month-end closings is low average busy work that wastes time. When I used to work at Fox News years ago, we had to do expense reports. It would take me hours to do it. It was such a waste of time. It was the worst, clunkiest system in the world, not with Ramp. Ramp is a free corporate card that automates your entire expense process. The moment your team makes a purchase, Ramp handles everything. Receipt matching, categorization, approvals, the works. They do amazing work. So switch to Ramp today. Over 25,000 businesses use Ramp, including Shopify, the Boys and Girls Club of America. I'm telling you, you've got to check them out. For a limited time, listeners of this show can get up to $250 when you join Ramp. Just go to ramp.com/redacted. That's ramp.com/redacted, ramp.com/redacted, cards issued by Sutton Bank. So check them out, ramp.com/redacted today. And it's member FDIC, terms and conditions apply from Sutton Bank, cards issued by Sutton Bank. So check them out. All right, let's get into the news, shall we? Because this is fast. This is happening fast and furiously right behind the scenes right now. So just a short time ago, just a few minutes ago, President Trump speaking on this, Ukraine agreeing to a 30-day ceasefire in return for U.S. weapons. So that is the headline here from the Telegraph. Ukraine agrees to 30-day ceasefire in return for U.S. weapons. Okay, how's this all going to play out? So let's just read through this report from the Telegraph just a few minutes ago. Ukraine has said it's ready to agree to a proposed 30-day ceasefire after the U.S. said it would resume weapons shipments. The U.S. will immediately lift the pause on intelligence sharing and resume security assistance to Ukraine, the country said in a joint statement. So my question is, why do you need that part of it? If you're agreeing to a ceasefire, that means no more bombs, no more killing. Why do you need U.S. intelligence to allow you to target targets and kill Russians? See how this doesn't really make it. And also, why do you, if we're agreeing to a ceasefire, why do you need more of our weapons? Ukraine also expressed readiness to accept the U.S. proposal to enact an immediate interim 30-day ceasefire, which can be extended by mutual agreement of the parties and which is subject to acceptance and concurrent implementation by the Russian Federation. The United States will communicate to Russia that Russian reciprocity is the key to achieving peace. Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, dictator, said Ukraine accepted the U.S. proposal for a complete 30-day ceasefire. He said the Ukrainian delegation had proposed silence in the sky, missiles, bombs, long-range drones, silence at sea, but the U.S. had suggested the ceasefire stretch to the entire front line of the war. Ukraine accepts this proposal. We consider it positive. We are ready to take such a step. The United States of America must convince Russia to do this, he said. So now President Trump takes this to Russia. Here is Marco Rubio just a few minutes ago.
Today, we made an offer that the Ukrainians have accepted, which is to enter into a ceasefire and into immediate negotiations to end this conflict in a way that's enduring and sustainable and accounts for their interests, their security, their ability to prosper as a nation. I want to personally thank, we both want to thank the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, His Majesty, for hosting us, for making this possible. They've been instrumental in this process, and we're very grateful to them for hosting us here today. And you know, hopefully we'll take this offer now to the Russians. And we hope that they'll say yes, that they'll say yes to peace. The ball is now in their court. And but again, the president's objective here is number one, above everything else. He wants the war to end. And I think today Ukraine has taken a concrete step in that regard. We hope the Russians will reciprocate.
Okay. So again, I just don't understand why part of the agreement you need weapons. You need American weapons and you need our intelligence sharing so that you can target. But remember, they can't target anything without the help of the United States. Targeting, launch of HIMARS, launch of any of it, they cannot do it without the help of the United States intelligence sharing. That was the pressure. Trump pulled that card about a week ago when he stopped sharing the intelligence with for the CIA and also military tracking. So guess what? Then they couldn't target anything. That's what pushed them to the table. Do we trust them? That now we're going to start sharing that. They're not going to start shelling civilians again in Donbass and Donetsk. They've been carrying out a genocide there for 10 years, killing innocent civilians in what was Eastern Ukraine. It's no longer part of Eastern Ukraine because you were killing everyone there. The other, like today, I just drove around. And there's all these Ukrainian flags popping up again. Have you noticed that? I was driving around the neighborhood. I saw a freaking Ukrainian flag. I was like, what the hell? Are we back to this again? It's madness.
Like, so What doesn't make sense to me, so Ukraine agrees to the ceasefire so they can stockpile more U.S. weapons. Why the hell would Russia, what is Russia getting out of that?
It's again, like, I mean, Russia, yeah. We talked multiple times on this show. Russia's in the driver's seat. There is no ceasefire that involves Ukraine having their military being built up. That's not part of this. There is no Putin doesn't have to negotiate with Ukraine at all. Game over. So that little cocaine sniffing troll, who's not a legally elected president of Ukraine, a dictator, and also Putin has said he's not going to negotiate and have any peace agreement signed with someone who's not an elected leader of Ukraine. So does part of this actually include Ukraine holding elections? Who's going to sign this agreement, a final peace agreement, where we don't go back into war 3 weeks later? Because Putin has said openly it's not going to be Zelensky. Maybe Putin will concede that point in this. I don't know. It's a fluid situation. Here's a question I have, though. As part of this, and I would love to ask Rubio this question, but the administration is on lockdown. They're not doing independent media interviews right now. They're only allowing them to do Fox News interviews, it seems. So you have to be fully in the tank for Trump in order to get an interview with these people right now, apparently. So, but I would love to ask Rubio, hey, your Secretary of State, do you know there are American journalists, independent journalists, on a Ukrainian kill list? Can you remove those American journalists from your kill list, Zelensky, please? Because we just learned deeply troubling information about Jamie White, who was a reporter at InfoWars, who was murdered at his house in Austin, Texas yesterday. And when the team from InfoWars went to find him, they just found blood all over the parking lot and he was murdered. Well, Jamie White posted this back in June. It says, I'm on the Ukrainian enemies list due to my work at InfoWars on the Ukrainian proxy war. The group who compiled this list is tied to the U.S. State Department, USAID, the CIA, and George Soros. He's listed right there on the Ukrainian. So, hey, Marco Rubio, as part of this agreement, can you make sure that American journalists aren't being assassinated at their homes? And I'm not saying that we know that this has anything to do with that. It could have just, we don't know. We don't know the full details. But this was just posted a short time ago and caught our attention, for sure. So we'll be following this and the Ukrainian ceasefire here. But we're also following this with 3 days until the government shuts down. And I'm there for it, by the way. So why is President Trump going to war with the very people that got him elected? It's not a good strategy, and it could backfire bigly. It's all because of the looming government shutdown and his arm-twisting of Republicans for votes for this massive budget. He's been on the phone with Republicans. We spoke to members of Congress last week who told us, yeah, President Trump has been basically kind of making promises like, hey, vote for this because, you know, we're going to get this under control down the line. But of course, they've been saying this about the continuing resolutions for the past year. You know what? Vote for it in September so we kick it down the line till December. You know what? Vote for it in December. We'll kick it down the line to March. Okay, now vote for it in March so we can kick it down the line to September again. See how this works? You just keep telling us you're going to keep doing that over and over and over again. It's hilarious. So anyway, the overnight President Trump threatened to primary Kentucky Representative Thomas Massie for opposing the GOP budget. Massie said after looking at the massive wasteful spending, he's a hard no on this. We're not going to do this anymore. That led Trump to post this on Truth Social last night. Thank you to the House Freedom Caucus for just delivering a big blow to the radical left Democrats and their desire to raise taxes and shut our country down. They hate America and all it stands for. That's why they allowed millions of criminals to invade our nation. Sometimes it takes great courage to do the right thing. Congressman Thomas Massie, the beautiful Kentucky, is an automatic no vote on just about everything, despite the fact that he has always voted for continuing resolutions in the past. That's not true, actually. He should be primaried, and I will lead the charge against him. He's just another grandstander who's too much trouble and not worth the fight. He reminds me of Liz Cheney. Oh, God. So what's amazing is the response to this post, because I didn't know if it was possible or not, but Trump got ratioed big time. MAGA independents, MAGA loyalists who love Trump, were pissed off. They're like saying, no, back off, Mr. President. Like, no, that's a bridge too far. You do not go after Thomas Massie. Overwhelmingly, Trump supporters were like, this is a crap move, sir. I mean, you have the people who, no matter what, are always in the tank for Trump. You know who they are. They will always be. But there are many, many tens of thousands of people came out and said, this is a huge mistake. You're going to lose our support. We voted for you because of cutting government, wasteful government spending, because we stand by people like Thomas Massie. Real conservatives, of course, support Massie for standing up to wasteful government spending, not taking money from foreign lobbyist groups. So memes have exploded on X like this. Here's one that Massie posted also. Said, sir, they all love Representative Thomas Massie. And then here's, oh yeah, go, yeah, sir, they all loved, like, giving you some advice there. We didn't think this didn't go as well as we thought. And then here's Harrison Smith. Literally every post on my timeline is supporting Massie, Harrison Smith. Says Kevin Sorbo, Thomas Massie is a patriot and a fighter. We stand with you. TJ Roberts, MAGA loves Thomas Massie, just on and on. And then there's people been spreading like lies and made up stuff about him, his voting record and stuff. But that's how these things spread really quickly. One man who's been going after the deep state for a long time is Ivan Reichlin. He says it's clear why the deep state is trying to drive a wedge between Trump and Massie, because Massie has been trying to take this down. And he explains it here. So this is really interesting. Watch.
Bottom line here is that the deep state members of the deep state target list, I'm going to name who they are behind putting a wedge and removing Thomas Massie. Well, guess what? Why are they doing that? It's because he's the only one that's in the position to expose the, remember when he was on Tucker Carlson talking about how everyone has a handler, APAC handler? Match that up with any relationships with folks that are on the Epstein client list. Maybe Thomas Massie is in a position to expose that. Additionally, wasn't it Thomas Massie that exposed and was very zealous about going after the January 6th pipe bomber? Would that then expose Nancy Pelosi, her involvement in the January 6th Fed insurrection? Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House, and his involvement in the Fed insurrection and subsequent cover-up? And then maybe other top prominent Republicans. So it's interesting to know that a lot of these things, you know, are interrelated. And I suspect that the reason why they're trying to take out Tom Massie is because he was the only one that was right on COVID. He called for the vote on the plandemic, the $2 trillion electoral heist, or excuse me, the $2 trillion that was used by Nancy Pelosi to pay off everybody that was going to and did steal the 2020 election.
Yeah. So wonder why. Wonder why they don't like him. Here's Thomas Massie's tweet. He says, this tweet from Trump's account is very misleading. He said, I never voted for a CR that became law. I did vote for a CR under Kevin McCarthy that included an 8% cut to all discretionary spending. But unfortunately, that CR did not become law. Do your research and you'll find I've been consistent. But people are too lazy to do their research. Of course they're too lazy to do their research on this. And so they just parrot what like one big influencer who got an Epstein binder at the White House had to say on Twitter. So they parrot these things. They don't actually understand and do their own research. Here's Massie again. Someone thinks they can control my voting card by threatening my reelection. Guess what? Doesn't work on me. Three times I've had a challenger who tried to be more MAGA than me. None busted 25% of support because my constituents prefer transparency and principles over blind allegiance. And that's really what you're seeing here. Where, Trump's leadership on this could have said to Speaker Johnson, we are done. Can you imagine Trump on television? No, Mr. Speaker. Get all the Republicans in line. We are done kicking the can down the road on these CRs. We're done kicking the can down the road on these continuing resolutions. We're not going to do it until September. We're not going to kick it again down to December. We're going to fix it now. He's got the mandate of the American people. You could have done it right now. So now you're going after Thomas Massie? So both Rand Paul, Senator Paul, and Massey said they would vote against the GOP budget because it does not cut spending. Their point is this: why cut all of this government waste only to bring on more government waste? Massey said this about it: the argument for this continuing resolution in September was to fight in December 2024 after the election. The argument for the CR in December was to fight for into March of 2025 after the inauguration. The argument for the CR now in March 2025 is to fight in September 2025 because we're not ready yet. Massey also pointed out the hypocrisy of DOGE. So this is, to me, the biggest sticking point here. All of these Republicans are getting so excited about all the cuts in DOGE, myself included. But now you're voting in a continuing resolution in the CR to basically vote and vote for the exact same stuff you're cutting in DOGE? It makes zero sense. Journalist Sagar Anjaneddy was at the White House briefing room just a short time ago this afternoon, and he asked this question of Carolyn Leavitt. Why is Trump going after Massey?
President Trump came out today in a primary challenge against Congressman Thomas Massie. Congressman Massie's been a supporter of DOGE. He's been a supporter of Make America Healthy Again. What kind of message is this White House sending against a congressman who's sticking up for principles that he's long held in the chamber and voting against continuing resolution and spending?
I think the president has made it very clear that he believes it's critical for conservatives and Republicans and, frankly, all members of Congress to get behind this continuing resolution to keep the government funded. The president wants to continue the momentum that he has built over the last 51 days. In order to keep the government funded, we got to keep moving with these deportations. And he believes that everybody needs to get on board with this bill. He's been active in this process. He's been making calls to get this over the finish line. And we're urging every Republican and Democrats, too, to do what's right for the American public to prevent a government shutdown.
Yeah. So if the House budget does not pass, the government faces a shutdown by Friday, of course. And then Massey posted this. POTUS is spending his day attacking me and Canada. The difference is Canada will eventually cave, which is probably true to that. By the way, Massey isn't the only one. I should point out it's Massey, Representative Kate Kamick, and Beth Van Dunn of Texas also have been raising concerns about the continuing resolution. So I'm not sure where they come down yet on their voting yet. So I know all the focus has been on Massey, but we will focus on that. You know what? Let's bring in Chris Rossini now. He is co-host of the Liberty Report over there at the Ron Paul Institute. And Ron Paul, just a few minutes ago, Chris, posted a long video basically saying, why are you going after this guy? Remember, Massey was the one guy who stood up against the COVID tyranny and the $2 trillion boondoggle. And, you know, Ron Paul said, here we go again, once again, going after people who are trying to cut spending in Washington and trying to paint them as a villain here. What, you know, is he right?
Yeah. Why? It was last night when I saw Trump's message. I couldn't believe it because it was deja vu. Trump did the same exact thing during the COVID fiasco. Massey was heroically standing up, trying to get these people to come in and vote for the greatest heist, the greatest transfer of wealth, as Massey put it, of all time. And Trump lambasted him back then in 2020. He's calling him a third-rate grandstander and a disaster for America. And now he's doing it again, just simply because one man is willing to just stand on his principles. And comparing,
we need more. I'm going to say it right now. We need more men like Thomas Massey who will stand on principles. Yeah, and you're right. And comparing him to Liz Cheney, warmonger, Liz Cheney, who wants to basically go to war with Iran, you know, daughter of warmonger and Halliburton Dick Cheney. Really? Come on.
No, it was absurd. And Massey, he's one that won't bend, and Trump knows the power of that. That was the power of DeSantis in Florida. You know, he was the one state that would buck the trend, and he ruined it for all of them. So, and Trump himself, you know, they call him literally Hitler. People love the fact that he stood up against that. And now Trump is using that tactic of calling him Liz Cheney because he knows that with Massey on the side, now the Republicans are going to have a little bit of pressure on put, you know, their master plan that they call it. And Republicans have, you know, they're always a disappointment. And Massey knows that. And he's obviously confident enough to be the one guy to say, you know, I don't believe this plan that you have. You're just going to find some other excuse come September to kick the can down the road again.
Yeah. So can you talk about, I know we talked about the grandstanding, the Liz Cheney stuff, and for people whose heads are spinning right now, trying to understand, like, why? Why specifically is Massey saying no to this? Like, what is in this spending boondoggle that the American people vote? And by the way, they voted for Trump because they're sick of this spending. So what is in here that's so nefarious?
I personally haven't looked in it myself, but obviously Massey and his staff know all of the details. So it must be bad enough. I know that the spending is, he keeps saying this is Biden-level spending. We're just going to keep the Biden stuff going. And that's not what everybody, we went through this big election to have Trump to change things. And Doge is changing things. But you know what the thing about Doge that I've noticed is they're going after, it's sort of partisan at this point. They're going after great stuff, USAID, Department of Education. This is all lefty stuff. And all the Republican stuff is not being touched. When you see Senator Ernst getting on board, well, let's cut the military empire and we'll see how excited Senator Ernst will be about Doge then. And so that's, you know, so far it's just a partisan thing. And what we need is both parties, because both parties got us to this point to be mad at Doge, and we're not seeing that. And I understand Elon has to work with what he has. You know, I'm sure he would cut everything if he could, but this is a Republican administration. But if Doge only ends up being something that just went after the pets of the Democrats, then that's a big disappointment, because A, that's not going to get us out of this trouble, and that's not what Americans voted for.
Yeah, I mean, I think the shell game with Doge, you know, it's like, hey, look over here at the shiny objects that we have at Doge. We're cutting USAID, we're cutting circumcision in Uganda, you know, we're cutting transgender, you know, parades in Guatemala, whatever we're doing. But at the same time, Republicans are lining up for this massive spending and kicking the can down the street once again. I mean, it's I think it's the American people are sick and tired of it. And of course, you know, Massey always refers to it as a uniparty. And I think, not to parrot him, but we here on the show call it a uniparty. I mean, the Republicans and Democrats are both corrupt. And so you have like one or two that are standing up and saying, we're not voting for this. We're done with this. But to me, it's bravery, but they're in a small minority, aren't they?
Yeah, and it really is a uniparty. If a person looks at the spending and debt, going back through history, look at a chart, it's Republicans and Democrats. It all goes in one direction. There's no give and take. There's no pull where Republicans get in and, oh boy, look how limited government has become. Look how small government has become. It's not. I mean, the Republicans, what they, you know, there's a saying that the Democrats are stupid and the Republicans are evil. They're evil because they appeal to people's good instincts. Look at us. We're going to cut your taxes. We're going to get government down to the size. And they do the exact opposite every time. So we're on the verge of it happening once again. And at least Massey is putting up some resistance.
Chris Rossini, co-host of the Liberty Report with Ron Paul. Again, Ron Paul coming to Massey's defense this afternoon. It was great to see that, saying this is craziness. You know, you have one person standing up saying enough of this spending and you're going to attack that person. So, it's crazy. Chris, great to see you. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Clayton.
All right, let's talk about Tulsi Gabbard now. Director of National Intelligence says that she has revoked the security clearance of 51 former senior intelligence officials who signed a letter declaring that the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian information operation, along with many powerful people. They include Anthony Blinken, former National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, Lisa Monaco, Mark Zaid, Norma Eisen, who represent the House Judiciary Committee during the impeachment trial, Letitia James, Attorney General, District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who brought the Stormy Daniels hush money case to trial, Andrew Weissman, who was one of the lead investigators in the Mueller investigation. Director Gabbard also directed the president's daily brief that is no longer being provided to President Biden. Can you imagine Biden sitting through that every day? Like they got to like he's even reading it. He's just sitting there with his oatmeal. many of these people have done odious things, to be sure, but many odious people still have security clearances. And Edward Snowden wrote about this in his book, by the way, called it The Permanent Record. He said that the security, there's a basically a security clearance economy in Washington, D.C., that it drives Washington, D.C., Edward Snowden said. He says that having a security clearance is practically a prerequisite for getting a job, any job, not just in the intelligence, but or defense. He described it as a golden ticket to work in Washington, D.C., not just in government and intel work. Everyone from security guards to IT support this need. And it's just punishment. So is this just punishment for lying to the American people, or is this political retaliation? Many of them are lawyers, so they might actually sue Tulsi Gabbard and the government. We'll see about that. Let's talk about Syria now. I've been watching this unfold, of course, what's been happening in Syria, the genocide that's been happening in Syria by the CIA and Biden-backed ISIS terrorists, former Al-Qaeda, whatever you want to call them, now rebranded as HTS, as Dan Cohen likes to call them, Pal-Qaeda. Because we funded these guys. Don't make no mistake about it. Israel and the United States funded these guys, armed them, friends with them, used them to carry out this mission of overthrowing Assad in Syria. Small part of the plan. Syria was once one of the most peaceful countries in the world. Not anymore, not until Obama got his hands on it and decided to undermine it, fake a whole chemical gas attack in Douma, which has been widely debunked. We now know that was all faked in order to overthrow Assad. But President Trump called this out 10 years ago. See, on this show, I can be critical of Trump 1 minute and I can be praising him another minute. See, we're not in the tank for anybody on this show. So 10 years ago, President Trump said this, and he was 100% correct about the mistake of arming these thugs, arming these people to go in and overthrow Assad. Watch him 10 years ago on CNN.
So I've watched Assad, and I've watched a little bit on the other side. The problem is the other side of Assad, we have no idea who they are. They probably are ISIS. I'm saying, are we better off with Assad? We have no idea who these people are. We give them weapons, we give them ammunition, we give them everything. Mm-hmm. Aaron, we have no idea who, I mean, maybe it's worse than Assad. So what are we doing? Why are we involved? We have to get rid of ISIS, very importantly. But I look at Assad, and Assad, to me, looks better than the other side. And, you know, this has happened before. We back a certain side, and that side turns out to be a total catastrophe. Russia likes Assad, seemingly a lot. Let them worry about ISIS. Let them fight it out.
Yeah, amazing, right? We don't know these people. We know Assad has protected Christians, Muslims, kept Christians safe. Is he the greatest guy in the world? Who knows? He didn't gas his own people in Douma. We know that was debunked and faked by the Biden Obama administration. We know the white helmets were all faked. We know how the money from USAID flowed in there. Go ahead, Phillips. You say something?
I was just going to say that exact thing, that the white helmets were actually funded through USAID. I think I'd sent you that letter that they posted that was like, hey, we ran out of money.
Yeah. It's amazing. So he even said the same thing to Hillary Clinton during a debate. Watch.
Now, she talks tough. She talks really tough against Putin and against Assad. She talks in favor of the rebels. She doesn't even know who the rebels are. You know, every time we take rebels, whether it's in Iraq or anywhere else, we're arming people. And you know what happens? They end up being worse than the people. Look at what she did in Libya with Gaddafi. Gaddafi's out. It's a mess. And by the way, ISIS has a good chunk of their oil. I'm sure you probably have heard that. It was a...
Yeah, exactly. So all of the bidding that you did for your Israeli friends who wanted Gaddafi out, wanted Saddam Hussein out. So the last one now. So now you got Syria. You took care of Syria now for your Israeli friends. The last one that Israel wants to destroy and take down is Iran. And they're actively planning to go to war in Iran. So again, are we going to go through this all over again? A complete disaster for these neocons and warmongers in Washington? It looks like we are. It's amazing to watch all of this unfold. We've got more news to get to here. We're going to talk about Canada in a second because Here's a question. Will Canadians get to vote anytime soon about the future of their country? Or do they have to kowtow to these liberals who are seemingly running the show right now? So we now have Mark Carney, who is now the prime minister delegate, designate, from Justin Trudeau, who basically handed over the keys to the kingdom there. When will Canadians get to pick or throw this guy out now? Is that going to happen? Or just more globalists taking over Canada and destroying that country and looking for a massive trade war with President Trump because that's how they think that they can get elected? We're going to talk about that in a second. First, you've all heard about our friends at Armra Colostrum by now. It's been the best kept secret of industry insiders for a while, but word is finally getting out, and for good reason. Armra Colostrum is everywhere these days. And when I first heard about it, and Natalie's been a huge advocate of this, she said, you know, it's almost too good to be true. Thousands and thousands of people reporting absolutely transformational health benefits, tens of thousands of five-star reviews, life-changing stories. Armra Colostrum is a bioactive whole food with 400-plus functional nutrients like antibodies, antioxidants, micronutrients, and minerals. Strengthens immunity, improves gut health, and ignites your metabolism, among many other benefits. Unbelievable. Armra Colostrum is cruelty-free, only uses surplus colostrum from grass-fed cows that would otherwise be basically waste produce. And we've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. All you need to do is just go to tryarmra.com/redacted. Transform your health starting at its foundation. Again, that's tryarmra.com/redacted. Enter the code redacted. You have 15% off. That's tryarmra.com/redacted.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
Well, what the hell is happening in Canada? That's a phrase I've repeated over the past 2 years because I can't wrap my head around how the Liberals have destroyed that country. Talk to any Canadian. It's unrecognizable from what it was 15 years ago. Totally different country. Unaffordable housing. Disastrous border policy. Flow of fentanyl and drugs into that country. It's unrecognizable. And it's all been done at the helm of globalist leaders in Canada. Well, it looks like they just got another one. Mark Carney. So who is Mark Carney? Let's understand who this guy is. How did Justin Trudeau just hand over the keys to this guy? And when will Canada actually get a right to vote and pick whether they want this guy in business or not? Or Pierre Poilievre, who is seemingly sounding more and more like a liberal every day with his positions on Ukraine, his positions against Trump and trade, the fentanyl crisis and everything else. So what is going on in Canada? Let's talk to David Creighton, independent journalist, writes at the Post Millennial, joins us from Ottawa, Canada today, who's been watching all of this unfold with Mark Carney. And you called it, David, you called it. This is Mark Carney's going to be the guy. So here he is. So what is happening? Who is Mark Carney and how are Canadians responding to this?
Well, Mark Carney, of course, is a former governor of the Bank of Canada and the Bank of England. He's also heavily invested in the WEF and the United Nations. He's a pure globalist. And you know what? He won the Liberal leadership vote on Sunday night with 86% support. That sounds like the old Soviet Union. That's what the Communist Party, well, they used to get 99% vote. But Carney got 86%. And the funny thing is, though, Clayton, two-thirds of the liberal membership was disqualified prior to the voting. So they couldn't vote. They couldn't vote. And this irregularity was barely reported by the mainstream media. I reported it. Rebel News reported it.
Wait. Why couldn't they vote?
People talked about it.
Why couldn't they vote?
Disqualified from voting. And when asked why were they disqualified? Well, we'll get back to you on that. The Liberal Party has not explained why two-thirds of the membership could not vote in the leadership vote on Sunday night. It is absolutely outrageous. And do you think this guy has been installed as another globalist, as a successor to Justin Trudeau? Oh, you bet. He sits on the boards of 21 directorships. He claims they're mostly philanthropic, but have a look, and I've done a deep dive on this on my Substack page. Most of them are not. He was cited by the House Judiciary Committee last July 2024, as being part of a climate cartel because he's got this. He was leading an NGO called the Glasgow Net Zero, and it's financial assistance for net zero. And the House Judiciary Committee said this is a climate cartel that has declared war on the American way of life. So that is Mark Carney. And he's also the former chairman of Brookfield Assets Management, which he just stepped down from prior to announcing his leadership race. But Brookfield, of course, is emblematic of the hypocrisy from the woke left in this country and around the world. It invests heavily in fossil fuels and pipelines around the world, except Canada, of course, and makes millions, hundreds of billions of dollars from these investments and pretends no big deal. And the funny thing is, before Mark Carney announced he was running for the Liberal leadership, he moved the headquarters of Brookfield Assets to New York. Because he knew he was going to win this race and that his policies were going to hurt that company. So he moved it outside of Canada to the United States, where it will fare much better under Donald Trump.
So it'll do better. It'll be fine because, you know, as President Trump wants to drill, baby drill, it'll take advantage of that. So brilliant strategy. And he can go on being a woke lefty globalist in Canada. So tonight, well, you know, maybe you can clarify, even someone in our chat room, Jeffrey Reinhardt's asking, he says, can Clayton clarify about the steel and tariffs? Are they coming at midnight? And is Trump charging Canada 25% or 50%? So I'm seeing 50% now on metals, right? So where are we sit with all of this right now on the trade side?
It's 25%. Trump was saying 50% if Ontario went through on its 25% surcharge on electricity. Now, the latest I heard just before I went on the air here is that apparently Donald Trump and Ontario Premier Doug Ford had a conversation this afternoon, and Doug Ford has backed down on this 25% surcharge. Ford is out of his mind. He was actually threatening to cut off the electricity to a major part of the American Northeast, which, of course, is insanity. But he apparently is back down today, which means we might not be in for the 50%. But this is changing so fast, Clayton, it's hard to keep a handle on what is happening with these tariffs. And as I've said repeatedly, we need to move beyond that. We need a new government in this country that's legitimate, that the Canadian people voted for, not one that is a caretaker government led by a caretaker prime minister who was elected by 150,000 Liberal Party members. That's what Canada has come to. And Carney is the sort of man that you would say, my God, he's got the personality of a reptile. And he is the worst public speaker I've ever heard. But he's got one thing over on Justin Trudeau. One thing up on Justin Trudeau is you can take him seriously. He does not come across as a manic pop star. And that's the only thing he's got in his favor. But people are asking, are we going to have an election anytime soon? Carney could conceivably stay on. He could stay on for a year and a half. But everything I'm hearing, including the Conservatives, are starting to put up signs already. I heard this morning. The Conservative Party of Canada is already distributing signs for candidates as of this morning. That indicates to me that there's probably going to be an earlier than expected election, or at least an earlier than is possible election. And I'll tell you why Carney might go here. He is so inept in terms of speaking to people, in terms of engaging with the public, and in terms of understanding what people actually use in their life. He once said that we don't use steel anymore. Now, this is a man with a PhD in economics. This is a man who supposedly governed the Bank of Canada and the Bank of England. He doesn't seem to understand that steel is still a relevant commodity. And apparently he doesn't own a refrigerator, a stove, or a car. I don't understand, but he said this repeatedly. And the longer Carney stays around and keeps opening his mouth and saying stupid things like this, the better chance he has of reducing his popularity in the polls. Yeah. So I'm telling you, this man is dangerous. He's worse than Justin Trudeau. He is a full proponent of net zero. He wants a carbon tax to be levied on corporations. He says he's going to cancel the carbon tax. But as Pierre Polyev has pointed out, cancel it on individuals, offset it on corporations, which, of course, will then immediately put it on consumers. And what it wants to do is, in addition, is to establish something that he really breaks down into a carbon tariff. And this is absolutely frightening. And this is one reason Donald Trump needs to stop attacking the conservative opposition and let an election occur in this country to get this guy out. Because it's almost like as soon as Trump got elected, the WEF said, hey, let's plant another one of our people in Ottawa to keep an eye on this guy, because Mark Carney is on the record as saying he wants to destroy the United States dollar in favor of the Chinese currency, or something he calls a synthetic hegemonic currency, whatever the heck that is. And he's also wants digital banking, and he wants to eradicate any other forms of free banking. And so this man is a clear and present danger to freedom, not only in Canada, but to Americans as well. He is going to be nothing but a problem.
I mean, it reminds me of Kamala Harris. It reminds me of what the Democrats did to install Kamala Harris without having to go through a primary, where people don't have to vote. We don't have to choose. We just, you know, Democrats were just told, here's your candidate, it's Kamala Harris. You don't have to do any kind of primarying at all. We don't have to go back and vote for these people at all. I mean, it seems to me that's what's happening here. So can you give me best case scenario for an election in Canada, worst case scenario? Are we talking a year and a half, worst case scenario for an election?
Mark Carney could conceivably hang on for a year and a half to October 2026 because the Canadian Constitution says a government has to have an election after 5 years. Now, there's legislation in effect that has governed the last four or five federal elections now in Canada that says an election should be held every 4 years. But the Constitution would certainly trump that legislation. So conceivably, he could hang on for quite a while. But as I've said, as Canadians discover what Brookfield Asset Management was up to, and the fact that Brookfield was paying about 5% corporate tax during the Trudeau years, and was sheltering billions of dollars in Bermuda during this time. The information about Carney is coming out in vast amounts on a daily basis. So he could have an election within the next 6 weeks. I predict as soon as he becomes prime minister, and he's negotiating on the timeline right now with Justin. They're having their little transition time right now. And Justin almost cried, by the way, on Sunday night again when he was saying adieu, farewell, amen to the Canadian people. But Mark Carney will be prime minister within the next week. I predict he will have an earlier election than October 2026, because I think by that time, most Canadians will want to tar and feather him and have him leave town rather quickly. He is not somebody who wears well. He's somebody who wears out his welcome very quickly. And the more you see of Mark Carney, there is more to dislike. He is supercilious, arrogant, absolutely detached from the average person, because he hasn't lived with the average person for many, many years. His wife is independently wealthy, as he is. They have been out of the country for much of the last 10 years, flying back and forth. He's a citizen of three countries, by the way, the UK, Ireland, and Canada. Mm. And Canada has always been sort of his third choice. But this is the man the globalists have appointed, have anointed, have coronated as their leader in Canada. And the sooner we can get him out, the better. I said the other day on my own show, let Mark Carney's tenure as prime minister be the shortest in Canadian history. We've had some very short tenures as prime minister, John Turner, Kim Campbell, people of recent vintage. Let Mark Carney be even shorter than that, because this man has come here on a mission, and it's a mission to fulfill a globalist agenda. And his whole life, from Harvard onwards, from all of his years in the WEF, all of his years as an international banker, all of his years with the United Nations, have geared him to take over Canada and the Canadian economy, and to be as much of a problem for his southern neighbor as he possibly can be. Beware, but there is hope. I believe Canadians can still choose to get rid of this guy before it's too late.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see if Canada can have an election, or if they're stuck with this guy. Canada moving the way, becoming like Ukraine. And the Democrats in the United States. I hate to say it, but it seems to be the case. I hope that he maybe serves as short a tenure, maybe as like Liz Truss in the UK. Maybe 49 days. Let's see if we can pull that off in Canada. David Creighton, great to see you as always. Check David's great show as well. You can follow him on X as well as on YouTube. Creighton's right. And thanks for all of your great coverage as always. David, great to see you.
Always nice to be with you, Clayton, and welcome back from Florida.
Thank you so much. Good to be back. Good to be back. Good to be back here in the saddle and doing the show. Yeah, and if you're joining us late here, Natalie's off today. Mm-hmm. She's not feeling well. I told her to take a nap. She was feeling like really sick, so I said, I got the show. I'll do it. I'll do it live. You go lay down. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk about Trump's plans for this Iron Dome. You may have heard him talk about it during his joint session of Congress. You might not have any idea about it. You might not understand the research behind it. We're going to do a deep dive on what exactly this looks like for the American taxpayer. Will an American Iron Dome work, or is this a boondoggle for the American defense industry? We're going to talk about that. But first, hey, subscribe to our show, by the way. I don't mention that often, but subscribe. Sorry, Philip, I threw you for a loop. I'm just saying, hey, subscribe. It's free to subscribe here to the show. It's free. Whether you're on Rumble, whether you're on YouTube, whether you're on X, you can just subscribe and turn on that little bell notification. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, by the way, covering the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. I'm blessed that we get to do this show because we're not paid for by any foreign government, big pharma, military industrial complex. So we can tell you the truth. We don't have a dog in this hunt. So we can be critical of everyone. So there are plenty of other shows out there who, you know, choose sides, and we don't choose any side at all. And you heard that here from us. So if the Trump administration will ever allow their cabinet members to come on, do any other networks besides Fox News, we'd love to have them here and ask them tough questions. But they're keeping them cloistered right now. They're not letting them out. They're only letting them do Fox News and their interviews, which is crazy. It's amazing. They were all happy to go do independent media to win the election. Then they win the election and they're like, oh, sorry, independent media. Sorry, guys. Can't do interviews with you guys anymore. Can't do interviews with all of the independent media. We can do Fox News. Crazy. All right. We're going to talk about the Iron Dome here in a second. You can tell I'm angry about this. It's been bothering me a lot. And, I hope it changes soon. I really do. But I want to tell you about our friends at Bunker. because they've been a great sponsor of our show. They're having tremendous growth, and thanks to you guys, because so many of you have downloaded their app just by going to the App Store and grabbing Bunker. What is Bunker? It's an uncompromised private messenger, together with a password manager, secure vault, and notes that work seamlessly together. High net worth families, law enforcement agents, professional athletes, journalists are using Bunker to protect their lives from surveillance, from cyber criminals, and other threats. They have private messaging and sharing, password manager, a secure vault, a notes app where you can keep, you know, travel, business, private reflections, recipes, workouts, whatever you want in there, but it's all secure. Over 130 countries you'll find Bunker customers enjoying peace of mind. They can travel with greater ease, having more energy to focus on what matters. So download Bunker now from the App Store. That's B-U-N-K-R. You can go to the Google Play Store or the App Store or visit their website, bunker.life, and use the offer code REDACTED to get 25% off. Live your life to the fullest. Protect what matters. Download Bunker today. Again, bunker.life is the place to go to grab it. All right. Daniel Cassie in Canada says, I've been wishing for an election for a while in Canada. My wife, Natalie, she's here in the chat room right now. I don't know if you guys see her. She's saying, I couldn't sleep. I'm thinking of stealing the Snickers bar from Clayton's bedside table. Hands off my Snickers bar. That was in my Christmas stocking. I've been saving it for a rainy day. But I guess she's sick. Okay, you can have my Snickers bar.
They do make more.
They do, yeah. If you really want it. I don't know that that's going to make you feel better, though. Like, you're queasy. Here's the best thing. Here's the worst thing you can have is a whole bunch of sugar. But okay. You do you. Steal my Snickers bar. And it was a nice long one, too, by the way.
That was a really sweet moment we just witnessed there.
What was that?
The Snickers bar. That was sweet.
Yeah.
You can have it. Yeah. She's not feeling well. All right. Well, this is not going to be sweet. Let's talk about this. President Donald Trump wants to build an Iron Dome for America. He made the announcement during his address to Congress last week. Watch.
First step, I'm asking Congress to fund a state-of-the-art Golden Dome missile defense shield to protect our homeland, all made in the USA.
Okay. So, notice all the clapping. Mike Johnson, yes, absolutely. So immediately I smelled a rat, and I called it out live during that broadcast while we were on the air. I smelled a rat. So let me explain why I smelled a rat. For that, we need some context in Israel, okay? In recent years, Israel's Iron Dome has been portrayed as a near-invincible missile defense system. It intercepts and neutralizes incoming rocket threats with pinpoint accuracy. Nothing can get by it. Like Martin Brodeur, the New Jersey Devils. He can stop everything. Just like the Iron Dome. Like Brodeur from the New Jersey Devils, you couldn't get anything by that guy. Just like the Israeli Iron Dome. So just so you understand, when we talk about the Iron Dome in Israel, we're talking about a project that was funded almost entirely by the United States. Did you know that? Billions. The U.S. has spent billions funding Israel's Iron Dome. And now President Trump wants to replicate this dome and build what he called a golden dome here in America, a missile shield over the United States. However, a closer look at this reveals that the Iron Dome is neither as effective nor as impenetrable as its proponents claim. And frankly, nothing like Brodeur at all. The reality is that Israel's missile defense system struggles against high-volume attacks. Being overwhelmed when more than a few rockets are fired at once, it can't handle it. It's economically unsustainable, as I'll show you in a minute, on top of that. And most critically of all, and most importantly of all, to my view, it's completely useless against modern hypersonic missile threats. In other words, it doesn't work. So let's throw a whole bunch of money at it, right? So if you need evidence of this, Iran's recent successful use of hypersonic missiles against Israel put that on full display. and truly exposed this vulnerability on a global stage, all over CNN, all over Fox News, for all the world to see. So despite these obvious failures, President Trump's push for an American Iron Dome is nothing more than a massive boondoggle, a massive giveaway to the defense industry. A big wet kiss for the military-industrial complex, something we've railed against here on this show for years. They already have $1 trillion that we hand them. Helped in part, of course, by Biden's swarming of drones over the mid-Atlantic after the election. Remember that? After the election, suddenly there were drones all over America and we couldn't stop it? What are these drones? We need an Iron Dome, of course, to protect us, to shoot them down, to protect our military bases. Why are all these drones up all over the sky? Of course, we now know those drones were U.S. drones being used as a false flag operation to scare us. Remember this guy, Jeff Van Drew? He said it's Iran, and he heard that it was an Iranian mothership out there.
Well, here's the real deal, Harris. You know, I'm also on the Transportation Committee, on the Aviation Subcommittee, and I've gotten to know people. And from very high sources, very qualified sources, very responsible sources, I'm going to tell you the real deal. Iran launched a mothership probably about a month ago that contains these drones. That mothership is off, I'm going to tell you the deal. It's off the east coast of the United States of America. They've launched drones, is everything that we can see or hear. And again, these are from high sources. I don't say this lightly. Now, you know, we know there was a probability.
So it's an Iranian mothership launching these drones. Quick, let's build an Iron Dome and spend $1 trillion doing it so we can protect ourselves against the Iranian mothership. Well, we now know.
I think when we first ran that clip, I'm pretty sure I sprained my optical nerves from eye rolls because I was like, is that guy seriously saying that? Like the Iranian mothership?
They think we're stupid.
Over that.
But there's so many people that were watching it, and you know, they were just sitting there watching Fox News that afternoon. They're like, oh my God, it's Iran. Yeah, you know what? Those Iranians, we better go to war with them. We better build an Iron Dome. Yeah, we better do it. False flag. Just like the Iranians that wanted to kill Trump. That's been totally debunked. People still believe that canard. Even Roger Stone, Trump's friend, immediately was like, it's not Iran. That's a false flag. Don't fall for it. We said that right here on the show. Don't fall for it. They want us to go to war with Iran. So anyway, we need to build an Iron Dome. So let's break this down a little bit further here. And I hope that maybe you'll share this video with people. And so anyone who's supporting an Iron Dome project, you can we're going to actually present you with details and research here. So here's how the Iron Dome is supposed to work. It's short-range missile defense system. It's designed to intercept rockets and artillery shells before they reach populated areas. Developed by Rafael Advanced Defense Systems in partnership with United States defense giant Raytheon, of course. The man in Israel who headed up this project is Brigadier General Daniel Gold. He's considered a national hero. If you speak to Israelis about this, they'll talk about, there he is in purple in the center of your screen there. He's like a national hero. Here he is. He was the head of Israel's Ministry of Defense Research and Development Directorate when he initiated this project. The system consists of three key elements and components. Detection and tracking radar system. So it detects incoming threats, predicts their trajectory, knows where they're going to go. And then it doesn't, it doesn't track hypersonic missiles coming in. It only will track those small arms that are coming in because hypersonics are way too fast. Then it uses battle management and weapon control system. So it processes that radar data and decides whether or not to launch a interceptor missile. Okay, it's coming in too fast. We can't do anything about it, so we can't do anything about it. Oh, it's coming in slowly? Sure, all right, let's launch something to intercept this thing. And then third, it uses Tamir missiles to intercept and destroy incoming rockets. Here's where it falls apart, though, of course, because each Tamir interceptor costs $40,000 up to $100,000. Each one of them, each one of those that you just saw launching there, up to $100,000. And the small surface-to-air missiles it's meant to knock down, coming from Hamas or Hezbollah, could cost as little as $300. So you're knocking a $300 thing out of the air with a $100,000 thing. Economics don't really work here. That means that unless American taxpayers are willing to pay for this system, it doesn't make it financially stable at all. But American taxpayers, you guys have been more than generous. Billions of dollars to Israel to support their Iron Dome project. So I'm sure you're fine with that. Totally fine with that. The Iron Dome in Israel has long been touted by CNN and Fox News as a game changer. You know, anytime there's been like live coverage of an event, they're like, they've activated their Iron Dome and it's been phenomenal. Of course, the reality is that its effectiveness is highly questionable. Wikipedia, which is one of the worst websites in the world, like if you want to get accurate information, Wikipedia is a massive purveyor of misinformation. It claims that the Iron Dome boasts a 90% interception rate. Of course, their source for that information are Israeli media sources for those numbers. But independent analysts say that number is laughable. 90% is a joke. Theodor Postol, MIT physicist who's studied this at length, says that the Iron Dome interceptions are likely far lower, possibly as low as 5 to 10%. Many intercepted rockets are not actually destroyed, but they actually just continue on their trajectory, often striking populated areas. And even Israel itself, even Israeli defense officials have admitted that the system doesn't really work as it's advertised. Former Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Arens even admitted that the Iron Dome's effectiveness is often exaggerated. That's right out of Israel. In other words, propaganda. The main problem is that the Iron Dome simply can be just overwhelmed with missiles. For example, during Operation Guardian of the Walls in 2021, Hamas launched over 4,000 rockets, and the Iron Dome failed to stop most of them. Similarly, Hezbollah has upgraded its arsenal with precision-guided munitions, and the Iron Dome can't stop them, as we've detailed on the show over the past few years. But the biggest problem with the Iron Dome is that it's completely useless against modern hypersonic missiles, which Iran, Russia, and China have, and which the United States and Israel do not. Hypersonic missiles are the Iron Dome's worst nightmare. They can't stop them at all, as we saw when Iran devastated airfields, military targets all over Israel, and the Iron Dome didn't do crap. The Iron Dome was powerless to stop them. Explosion after explosion wiping out military airfields. Worst of all, these hypersonic missiles actually destroyed Iron Dome batteries themselves. The very launch sites for the Iron Dome were destroyed by these hypersonic missiles. And to launch these interceptor rockets, they couldn't do it. And the Iron Dome couldn't do a damn thing to stop it. Just so you understand, hypersonic missiles travel at speeds greater than Mach 5, 3,836 miles an hour, and are highly maneuverable the whole time, making them basically invisible to existing defense systems, including the Iron Dome itself. Unlike traditional ballistic missiles, which follow a predictable arc, hypersonic missiles can change direction mid-flight, making interception nearly impossible. They can't do it. So it raises serious concerns about the feasibility of an Iron Dome-like system in the United States. What are we protecting against? Exactly. If not hypersonic missiles, we keep hearing that those are our biggest threat from Russia and China and Iran. What? What then? Like Mexican cartels with shoulder-fired rockets? Like that's what we're going to build an Iron Dome for? Okay. So President Trump has proposed an American Iron Dome, arguing that the U.S. needs a missile defense shield to protect against threats from China, Russia, and other adversaries. However, this plan is a boondoggle for the defense industry for several reasons. The Iron Dome was designed for short-range rockets, but the United States would need to defend against long-range ballistic missiles, hypersonic weapons, cruise missiles, which the Iron Dome is incapable of stopping. To do all that would cost close to $1 trillion or hundreds of billions of dollars at the minimum. But, you know, when you look at, like, are they going to have budget overruns or not? they always have budget overruns. Do they ever come in under budget in the defense industry in the United States? No. I mean, look at the F-35 program. Look at the Osprey program. Look at all of them. They're always over budget, and then you end up paying for it. This plan is not about security. It's about funneling your money, taxpayer dollars, into the pockets of military corporations. Bottom line. Oh, and by the way, don't fall for the propaganda, because the United States, by the way, already has missile defense systems. The U.S. already operates far more advanced operating systems than the Iron Dome, including the THAAD system, which is the Thermal High Altitude Area Defense, the Aegis system against ballistic missiles, the Ground-Based Mid-Course Defense, the GMD system, and by the way, they're also working right now on the GPI system, the GLIDE system. None of these systems, however, can reliably stop hypersonic missiles. And they are far more advanced than the Iron Dome system. You see, what this is, it's a madness. So when Trump just gets up there and says this and people applaud, they don't understand the details of it at all. There, in other words, there's nothing the United States can do to stop hypersonic missiles that could be deployed at scale across the United States in some kind of massive dome idea, some sort of golden dome. It's a lie. It won't work. So either Trump is being misled. I like to give President Trump the benefit of the doubt, because I know during his first administration, he was surrounded by neocons that kept him doing certain things like funneling javelins off to Ukraine and other things like that. So it's either one of two things. President Trump is being misled here by neocons in Washington that desperately want trillions of dollars being spent on a boondoggle of an Iron Dome project. Or he's lying. He knows it's a boondoggle and he's lying to you. I tend to believe that he's being misled. I don't think he knows the truth on this, personally. Maybe I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt. Where do you guys come down on this? Do you think he knows about this? And by the way, just can we talk some numbers here? So we already have in our possession the Aegis defense system, A-E-G-I-S, to fire one of those missiles to stop like an incoming missile costs $12 million, just one of those missiles. Can you imagine? So just, it's not an invincible shield made out. It's overhyped. It's expensive. It's deeply flawed. It's failed to stop Iran's hypersonic missile attacks on Israel. The push to replicate it in the United States is not about protecting Americans at all, in my opinion. It's about enriching defense contractors. And we should say no to this massive government waste. That's my opinion. What are your thoughts on that? Let me know in the comments below. Hey, I want to thank our friends over at Rumble Premium, by the way. You know, Rumble defends free speech, and you know, you can sign up for Rumble Premium for just $10, very, very cheap. You can save $10 off their annual plan. So when major advertisers are conspiring to pull their dollars, even brands like Dunkin' Donuts turn their backs, calling Rumble, claiming that Rumble had a right-wing culture. But we're not here to fit a mold at all. We're here to defend free expression. And we're proud to partner with Rumble Premium. Completely ad-free experience. Exclusive benefits for viewers and creators. You'll find exclusive content from our friends like Russell Brand, Dr. Disrespect, Tim Cass, The Mug Club, all of them. Your voice matters. So when you join Rumble Premium, for a limited time, you get $10 off their annual plan using the promo code REDACTED. Just visit rumble.com/redacted and claim your discount today using the promo code REDACTED. Get $10 off. So thank you for watching us on Rumble as well as YouTube. But if you want to support free speech even more, you can do that with the Rumble Premium plan as well.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
What do you guys think about this Iron Dome thing? Missile mayhem, Williams says.
I think diplomacy still sounds like a cheaper option, but that's just me.
No, I know you can't. I'm crazy. You know, yeah, I mean, it's like, again, the idea, these, you know, these warmongers in Washington, you know, they really, really, really don't like it when you want to push for peace. They really don't. They make so much money off of it, and they really are applauding this idea of creating an Iron Dome across America and paying $1 trillion to do it. Abraham Kaufman says, you're way off on this, Clayton. Okay, Abraham, then in which way am I way off? Weekender says, Redacted is an agent of foreign agents. How is that? I love that. I'm an agent. We're an agent of foreign agents. No, but I'm serious. When you, Abraham, when you just make Mr. Kaufman, when you make a statement like that, please be specific. Like, in what way am I way off? I'm just giving you numbers here and how the system doesn't work. And by the way, you can speak to Israelis about this and they'll confirm what I just told you. People who aren't like in the tank, you know what I mean? Like, there, people are always going to just, you know, do that. But Adrian, come on, I would just be curious what you mean by that. Weekender. Fearmongers. I think we just told you the opposite of fearmongering. I don't know if you pay attention to our show, but we just called out trying to push us to war against Iran right now, actively. Inside, there are people inside the Trump administration that are actively trying to push us to war, and there are people inside the Trump administration that are actively trying to prevent that from happening. That's a fact. That is an absolute fact. And so what we're trying to do is prevent us to going to war against Iran. They are actively trying to do that.
Which, of course, would be a huge mistake with all their motherships. We know that they have motherships aplenty in Iran.
Exactly. We got to go to war with these guys. Weekender. Thanks, Weekender. Propaganda for what? I love it. There's like two guys that say the same thing over and over again. I love it. No wars, period. Yeah. Propaganda for what exactly? Peace? Like, what can you, when someone's like, your propaganda, what kind of propaganda? Just curious. For who? Because if you're pushing peace, like what, and we don't want the military-industrial complex to get an extra $1 trillion of taxpayer dollars, what are we propagandizing? Peace? Okay. We're warning you against false flags, which the United States has used to great effect for many, many years to drag us into wars. Gulf of Tonkin, for crying out loud. Remember the Maine? 9/11? Okay. On and on and on. You're starting to think so, Paulette. Are you? Okay, love that. You guys love war so much, man. I didn't realize that. Love it. Patriot Extraordinaire says, truth is propaganda for these people. Yeah. You know, I had a great conversation with... no, we don't live in Portugal, but thank you, Perez. Live in the United States of America, but thank you. I appreciate that. The beautiful Rocky Mountains, by the way. I was having a great conversation with a friend yesterday, and he said, you know, I didn't realize conspiracy theorists are actually those who are educated. You become a conspiracy theorist when you become educated. Isn't that funny? It's so funny. And when you know things, when you actually study and read. Yeah, the USS Liberty, exactly, Professor. Joe says, Clayton, it sounds like they're trolls. I know we have, there's like paid bots and stuff like that, or they have bots and all of that. I don't know. But because if they say that, like, they literally, it's the same thing being typed over and over again. It's like, I don't know how that exactly works, but. Thank you, Rapunzel. I appreciate you as well. Kevin McCauley says, quit saying that hypersonic missiles are unstoppable. I didn't say they're unstoppable. I just said the Iron Dome can't stop them. They are stoppable. And I pointed out that the THAAD system, it's unreliable in stopping them. Meaning there's not like any kind of, you know, it's not like it's some massive shield. Like if Iran decides or Russia decides to launch, you know, 100 hypersonic missiles simultaneously, we've talked to military experts on this show who said near impossible that they stop all of them. It's impossible. We can't do it. We don't have the capabilities to do it. Okay, Abraham, please do. I would love to hear that. Abraham, okay, Abraham's a defense contractor and says he can email me. Okay, I'd love to hear that. What part, though, when you say completely wrong, like what part are you talking about? What's my thought on your super chat? Sorry, someone asked about a super chat here. I missed that. What is super chat? David, did we get a super? Is David still here? Or is he duck out?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Did we get any super chats?
I don't see one. I mean, we probably did. I can log into YouTube really quick and look.
Yeah.
I have to be logged into Zoom, so I don't.
Yeah, or Abraham, just send me a message on Twitter or whatever. Lasers can stop ballistic missiles. Okay, but so even if we're wrong about hypersonics or whatever, should the American people foot the bill for a $1 trillion Iron Dome? Because we're inventing, by the way, we are inventing these enemies. Okay. Russia is not our enemy. They're not trying to attack us and trying to take over the United States of America like Red Dawn in the 1980s. Like, if you believe that, you're an idiot. Russia can barely manage the mass, the landmass that it currently has. Okay. It's going to want to take over America. Okay. So, and maybe we, you know, if we stop provocating with pushing NATO right up to their door, we could create peace instead of, as Philip pointed out, diplomacy. I much rather have diplomacy than spend $1 trillion on an Iron Dome project. That's just me. The United States can't afford it, so I don't know where we're going to get this money from, by the way.
Who was the person that asked about the super chat? Do you know?
Sorry, I scrolled down. Someone asked about a super chat earlier.
We have a few.
Oh, okay, because I don't see them here on my side. Can you read them if they're not?
Yeah. Here's okay £5 from Lalella 69. Ceasefire proposals in the Zelensky. Is Zelensky trying to swindle his way to getting what he wants? That is a pause in the curse direction so he can rearm and stay. Lurch 685, rename it to Palestine and everyone's happy. Motocross girl, we need to stand up to our government.
Yes.
And DS, Trump is fixing the wrongs of the past 70 years. Pray countries TDS doesn't turn this into a 20s and stop the petty S talking. This is big. Don't be a Z.
Lala 69 says it was me. Did we have one?
Yeah, I read that one first.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
And then Milo, I trust the two of you to do your best and be truthful. Keep it up. And then from Adstraw, you guys need to pay attention to what he's saying. And I'm assuming they're saying they need to pay attention to what you're saying. And that's all of them.
Yeah, no, I want to hear from this defense contractor. I mean, I don't make my money from defense contract. You know, like I know that's your job. So that's your livelihood. So you're going to defend it, right? I get that. But when you're talking about ballistic interception, again, can the United States be protected against a massive hypersonic missile attack? And how much would that cost us? And are we really under a threat of a hypersonic missile attack? They have nuclear weapons. I mean, really? Like, we're worried about that. So now we're going to go back to sort of a Cold War mentality. Like, they have nuclear weapons.
We have like I don't think there's a country on the planet that thinks if they just start firing conventional missiles at the U.S., we're not going to immediately retaliate with nukes. Like, right. who's gonna want to do that math? You know, who's gonna take that risk? Like, let's just fire a couple conventional. I mean, I guess if they call ahead and let us know,
hey we're gonna wipe out Seattle.
At you, but they're not nukes.
We're just gonna take out a couple of your cities this afternoon. We're gonna wipe out Seattle. We're gonna wipe out Cleveland. We're gonna wipe out Dayton, Ohio. Just gonna hit a few of these places. You know, don't shoot nukes back at us, please. I mean, it's madness. It's madness what we're playing at. Tell me to spend American taxpayer dollars, $1 trillion to build a freaking giant, you know, iron dome across the United States. My question, though, Abraham, is like, how is it different than the systems we already have? The THAAD system, the Aegis system, the GPI system, these other systems. Like what? How, we don't have the technology. There's no system that we have that can stop these things. At scale. I don't know if you heard what I said that. At scale, meaning like we have one sat in Seattle. We have one sitting in Denver. We have one. We have all of these systems set up as like a giant net, a mesh network to protect us. But anyway, email. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as a defense contractor.
We just got one from Arc Dragon. A better Iron Dome would be something that creates an electronic shield around the continental U.S. that forces hypersonics electronics to redirect to a location at sea.
Yeah. Maybe. I lived in Dayton, Ohio. That's why it was top of mind. Yeah, I lived in Dayton. I lived in Miamisburg on an old morning show that I worked at for many, many years. Many, many years ago. Let's see. Metal Fender Guy. Do you think the meeting with Zelensky and Trump was foreshadowing? He did say, we will fill it. We have beautiful oceans. I think it was a threat. Oh, we will feel it. I mean, Zelensky, you know, I said to a friend yesterday, I said, I think Zelensky, I have empathy for him because he doesn't know, like, remember, Trump sent him Javelin missiles before, back in 2015, right? Biden and, you know, the whole team were sending him, like, baskets of money and weapons. We love you. You're on the Grammy Awards. You're on the Oscars. We love you. Come to Washington, D.C., stand in the, you know, with Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and the chain with Adam and Chuck Schumer, roll out the Ukrainian flag in a joint session of Congress. And then he comes back to Washington, D.C. and he gets dressed down by J.D. Vance and Trump. He's like, what world am I in? You know, and then he gets a phone call right beforehand from Susan Rice and Victoria Nuland, like telling him how to act in front of Trump. It's like he doesn't know. He's not in charge in Ukraine. So I have empathy for him. He doesn't know no one who's in charge in Ukraine. It's not him. So I don't know what he's thinking. All right, guys. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow. Well, by show mention, we have a daily newsletter. Have you subscribed? It's a free newsletter. We publish it first thing in the morning, so you can you know read it over your cup of coffee. You can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes. Help you stay informed. We try to cover the stories that the mainstream media ignores. We really sort of like a director's tract for this show. And again, you can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes. Just go to redacted.inc, put in your email address. And it's a great way for us to stay connected with you because God knows we've been banned on these platforms before where when we were banned on YouTube for 2 weeks covering COVID, we couldn't communicate with you at all. We weren't allowed to put up a community post. We couldn't pin a comment. We couldn't do anything. And so our show was just dark for 2 weeks and our audience was like, where the hell are you guys? So with our newsletter, we're able to stay connected with you and say, hey, we've been banned. Or, hey, this is what happened. So it's a great way to stay connected and it's free and it's informative. So just come over to redacted.inc, put in your email address. You'll get a welcome email from me. Just got to click accept. And then you'll receive it first thing in the morning tomorrow morning. So thank you, everyone, for a great show today. Thanks for putting up with me. Thanks for putting up with David. And
yeah, thank you.
I'm just going to get a T-shirt that says that. Thanks for putting up with me.
I'll buy one, too.
Thanks for putting up with Philip. Thanks for putting up with Grim. It was a testosterone-filled testicle Tuesday here. No women allowed on the show today. Natalie's not feeling well, so we'll have some estrogen back tomorrow on the show if she's feeling better. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Have a great night, everyone.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.